attention, please. May I have your attention, please? Slash home, everyone. I'm the son of Israel Abel, Deacon Ashton Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for self services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is son of Israel Abel Buffalo Bill Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yerushalayim Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Yerushalayim Abel, Yeshaya Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is A Right to Choose. Today we are going to review a few things our great teacher, Yeshua Hawkins, has brought to us over the last couple of weeks. Do you remember when Pastor said, Yahweh is not weak like Satan. He's allowing her and her agency to go their own way for a set time. Remember, Yahweh is in full control. This set time for Satan is almost up. Yahweh's perfect plan, as it says in Yochanan 1:1-5, is going to be complete. Please turn there with me. Yochanan 1:1-5, on page 814. Yochanan 1:1-5. It says, In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it, and without it nothing was done that was done. In this plan was life, and the life was the light to mankind. Now that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take hold of it. Pastor told us, Yahweh knew this agency would be the lawgiver in the last days. He prophesied it in Genesis 49:10, for your notes, and he also gave Daniel a prophecy that the same group would take away the daily reading of the law. Turn with me to Daniel 11:31. Daniel 11:31 on page 683. Daniel 11:31. And the army will stand on his part, and they will pollute the sanctuary of strength, and will take away the daily sacrifice, and they will place the Lord of heaven. So they would take away the daily reading of the law, which they did. They stopped teaching Yahweh's laws, and even took away the book of Yahweh. But remember, Yahweh allowed all of this. He gave Satan authority to do whatever she wanted to do. Pastor told us last week that he believed in human rights. He said everyone should have the right to choose, righteousness or evil. But the Catholic Church took that right to choose away from the people. They took the ability to learn the laws of Yahweh away from the people. But once again, Yahweh has a plan to counteract Satan. He planned for his servant, the chosen branch, to be born in the last days, who would bring back the right to choose by establishing Yahweh's house and bringing back the book of Yahweh. Remember, the book of Yahweh is back and it's here to stay. Please turn over in your books of Yahweh to Zechariah 6:12-13. Zechariah 6:12-13. On page 719, Zechariah 6, 12 through 13. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory. He will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. As we know, the council of peace is between Yishol HaKins and Yahshua, our high priest. Praise Yahweh. 2 weeks ago, Pastor ended his sermon by saying, you'll be so joyous you started with Isaiah 58 and ended with Malachi 4. Let's turn to Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. On page 567, Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. It says, if you turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure, business, your own pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation, then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. So if we keep our weekly Sabbath appointments with Yahweh, we are getting the knowledge to choose right from wrong. Now let's end with Malachi 4, 1 through 12. Malachi 4, 1 through 12, on page 727. It says, for behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, and it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you, who reverence my name in the light of righteousness, will arise with healing in its wings. You will go out leaping like calves released from the stalls. Here we can clearly see two distinct groups of people. One who is classified as wicked, and the other who chooses to practice righteousness. Those who practice righteousness will be protected from this great burning that is going to take place very soon. As Pastor said, we will be so joyous that we kept the Sabbath day and had the mark of Yahweh upon us. With this, may Yahweh bless your understanding. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yishol Abel for prayer.
We'll turn it over to the great Deacon Samuel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. May all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Truly is a great honor to come before the called out ones here today. And today I have a very important message, very serious message, and I do hope that everyone do pay attention. If everyone can see that right there, everyone see that? Praise Yahweh. That's the what I'm going to be talking about today is being serious-minded in all our vows to Yahweh. And it's very important that we truly understand what our vows are to Yahweh and to keep those vows. To quickly define what a vow is, do you see that right there? A vow means a promise. A promise or pledge binding oneself to an act, a way of life. And this is from the Webster's Dictionary. And also the word serious. Get it right there. Serious, the definition for serious, means earnest, zealous, and sincere. But notice here, not joking or trifling. In other words, you know, taking it lightly. Requiring careful consideration, giving cause for concern. And I truly do hope everyone go over those definitions, because the vows that we make to Father Yahweh are not idle. They're not something we just say and has no value in it. But before we make any vows, we must be serious-minded. What we say, we must keep. If you have your Book of Yahweh, if you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and verse 2, found on page 520. And this is talking about paying your vows to Yahweh. If you look at verse 2, it says, "Do not be rash, reckless with your mouth. Do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh is in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few." Let's jump to verse 4. "When you make a vow to Yahweh, do not delay to pay it." Don't delay it. "For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed to pay." And also look at verse 5. "It is better that you should not vow in the first place than to vow something and not pay it." This is how serious it is. And, you know, Pastor has a lot to say about these vows that we make to Father Yahweh. You know, of course, without Pastor, we will know nothing. We will know nothing. But it's with Pastor that we have this understanding and this wisdom that he brings forth each and every Sabbath. And it gives us that understanding so that we can fulfill the law of Yahweh. Now, if you look here, and I really wanted everyone to read along with me as we go through a few of these here from the books of Yisro. But this is the first book of Yisro, chapter 28, verse 6. And the pastor here says, "Keep your mind on the goal and on the original vows that you made. Those vows are right. You need to uphold them and keep your mind on them. You will have a place in the kingdom if you do it. It will not be easy for Satan and the demons around you to influence you if you do not do this. So notice here that it's Satan, you know, her demons wanting to influence us to not keep Yahweh's laws, but also not to uphold our vows. You know, of course, Satan is always against Yahweh's house and Yahweh's people, but we have to do our part. We have to do our part in keeping the laws and keeping our vows that we have made. You know, because once we've forgotten our vows, you know, that's the opportunity that Satan seeks for to influence, to break these vows that we have made to Yahweh. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23, found on page 166, and if you look at verse 21, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, and we'll go through 23, found on page 166. Starting at verse 21, it says, "If you make a vow to Yahweh, you must not delay to pay it. For Yahweh your Father will certainly demand it to you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from even making the vow in the first place, you will not be sinning." Verse 23, "Whatever goes out of your mouth, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely of your own free will to Yahweh your Father with your own mouth." And to better understand this scripture here, of course, our high priest, Yahshua Messiah, spoke more about this and expounded more on this, you know, really making it very easy to understand, even for a child to understand, of how important the vows to Yahweh are. If you turn to Matthew chapter 50, Matithiah chapter 5, verse 33. This is found on page 731. Matithiah chapter 5, verse 33. It says, "Again, you have heard that it was said by the people of ancient times, when a man vows a vow to Yahweh, or vows an oath to bind himself to some pledge, he shall not break his word. He must do everything he said he would do." And go to verse 37. And this is the part that Yeshua really explained it very easily for even a child can understand. If you look at verse 37. "But vow your vow, then let your yes be yes. Or simply do not vow, and let your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one." And notice there, Yeshua didn't say, let your yes be maybe, or let your maybe be maybe, or no be maybe, right? But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And in this, just, those who've been studying the peaceful solution, you can clearly see there that Yeshua was teaching us to be decisive, to make up our mind on what we wanted to do, to keep our word. Not to beat around the bush, because remember, vows are very serious. And one thing I wanted to point out, also with the vows here, was that once you make a vow, you can't go back on it, brothers and sisters. Once you made a vow, you have made that vow. And like the scriptures that we've already covered, do not delay to pay it. It's forever. Just as Yahweh is forever, so is our vows. Praise Yahweh. But to further go in here, Pastor gave some really great examples in the books of Israel, more particularly to a certain type of vow, but our marriage vows. Our marriage vows. In the third book of Israel, chapter 10, verse 77, Pastor reads here, verse 76, start at verse 76 here. It says, "The next definition we see in the word sanctified is to pronounce. The word pronounce means to pronounce, to declare officially. In your case, it will be to declare it officially before Yahweh, because it must be established with words." Verse 77 here says, "If you think about this, think about a marriage, this is the same thing that takes place in a marriage. What took place in your marriage? You announced it officially. This man is the husband of this wife. This wife belongs to this man. You announced it in front of witnesses. It was a public announcement." And Pastor has more to say about it in the next part, in a different book, the first book of Israel, chapter 22, and verse 98. But remember, we're talking about seriousness, the vows that we've made to Yahweh. Verse 98 is probably about the third sentence or second sentence in that verse there. But it says, "What do you come together for at a wedding? Is it chills and thrills, drinking wine and eating things? No, it is to get two people together in front of Yahweh and to actually witness that these two people are getting married under his supervision, by his laws. You're asking Yahweh to put these two people together in a holy marriage that will last forever. It will not be temporary. That is what you are doing. This is what you should be hoping to do. It is not for a party. You can have your damn parties at your home by yourself if you want to with your family. But when you come here, it should be in worship of Yahweh. Worship of Yahweh is having Yahweh involved in this stuff. This is back to basics." Now, this is what pastor is talking about, the seriousness. This is back to basics. This is back to this holiness. Back to keeping the laws of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Because we were of this world, you know, we have this worldly influence still in us that, of course, all of us are still overcoming and we're still striving to get rid of. But just to give you an idea, you know, when I'm talking about the marriages and vows in this world, but, you know, before you see that there, it says marriage. I want to talk about how the marriage is like a show in Hollywood. You know, it's like a show in Hollywood, and that's how they portray it. You know, there's this glitz and glamour and all this festivities. You know, but of course, like we read, you know, it's private between a man and a woman and Yahweh. But I wanted to let you see something here, and this is from thecostofweddings.com. The average wedding cost in the United States is, and of course, there's five digits there, just to give you an idea how much it costs. but it actually costs, this is the average amount of a wedding in America, $26,444. That's the average amount. All right? Okay? And this is from, of course, cost of wedding. This is what they're wanting you to do. You know, to forget your vows and get caught up into this glitz and glamour, not taking your vows seriously. And just to kind of really get into perspective for you young ones, what I'm talking about here, about this, you know, the average cost, how much $26,444 is. You know, I looked up here, average, a can of corn is average about 66 cents. So let's divide that. $26,444 into, well, that's actually supposed to be a decimal, not a comma. But how many cans of corn is that? Well, it's about, let's see if we can get this right, 40,066 cans of corn. So is that a lot of corn? That's a lot of corn. But this is what they're spending on in marriages. I have an article here. It's from the website called CheatSheet.com, and this is from May 18, 2015. So not too long ago. But I just want to read a little quote here. But it's talking about the marriage statistics. And it says, are Americans giving up on marriage? And it says, in the past few decades, Americans have become a bit cynical. And the word cynical, I have to look this up, means to bitterly or sneeringly distrustful, contemptuous, or pessimistic. Okay, so this is the idea that Americans have towards the marriage. When it comes to marriage, this country still boasts a high divorce rate. It says it's hovering around 50%. 50% of marriages today end in divorce. So, in other words, Americans, the average American spends $26,444, and 50% of those marriages end in divorce. So, this is what the world has to look forward to. You know, this is more of why we need to be serious-minded in all our vows. But this divorce here, of course, you know, there's scriptures talking about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Found on page 891. Let me just read it to you quickly. It says, now to the married I command not, but Yahweh, a wife must not separate from her husband. And this is what the BC government is pushing forth. You know, this is the idea that they have for marriages. And if you are married, they push for you to get divorced. But this government, this BC government has created what is called a prenuptial agreement. You've ever heard that before? But what it is a pre-divorce agreement before you get married. So it's like 50% of marriages, or even 100% of marriages, it could be, before they even get married, they agree on getting divorced. Yeah, so this is the confusion that they have in this world. And of course, you know, I kind of read up on it. It's, you know, stating about how what would occur when they get divorced and how both parties must agree upon these terms before even getting married. So you should clearly see how much they take seriousness in their vows. They don't. And of course, this has caused a lot of trouble because of not keeping the vows to Yahweh. If you turn to Matithiah chapter 5, verse 31 through 32, found on page 731. It has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Verse 32, however, I say to you that everyone divorcing his wife, except on account of fornication, makes her subject for adultery, seeing that whoever marries such a divorced woman commits adultery. And, of course, this is what this is the cause of the rise of STDs, you know, along with other things, of course, but this takes a big part of it, you know, this divorce here. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16, found on page 497, starting on verse 16, it says, discretion and understanding will deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters and with seductive words. In verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth, her husband, and notice here, and forgets the covenant of her father Yahweh, her marriage vows. If you look at side note G, you know, it's talking about the vows to Yahweh of obedience to her head. So it's the forsaking of the vows, not taking it seriously, that is causing this trouble that we see in this world. But I want to look at another article here. It's from relevantmagazine.com. And this is on January 7, 2011. It says, Hollywood's confusing betrayal on marriage. You know, so this, you know, Hollywood is not a place where you should look at to pattern your life after. But it says here, new films make marriage look like a prison. You know, that's a little quote there, and this is what they're putting forth out in Hollywood. You know, of course, to discredit Yahweh from what Yahweh's trying to build, which is, of course, is a family. You know, Hollywood tells you that you can just do whatever you want to do, and it's okay. Another article here from RadicalParenting.com, and this is from 2/15/2015, but it's talking about a specific celebrity divorce that occurred at this time. Many of you probably know about it, but it lasted for 72 days. But there was just talking about how celebrity divorces and how the media affects teens' views on marriages and divorce. Because remember, the media today has a strong pull, a strong influence in what children, teenagers, and even adults are patterning their life after in these time periods. But it says that word forever, it has, you know, bolded there. The word forever seems foreign in a world of entertainment. You know, because remember, you know, the world of entertainment is just to last for a little bit, for a little season, and then just go back to the regular ways that you've been living. Worlds where celebrity marriages last as long as the fashion trends that come with them. It says, it's bad enough that 50% of marriages end in divorce. What is this teen supposed to think when every magazine, website, entertainment show's latest celebrity news is about celebrity divorce. And this is what they push forth. This is what they show as entertainment to the children of today's society. And of course, you know, like the saying that pastors put into our mind, you know, as California goes, so goes the world. In other words, California, Hollywood, what they put forth, you know, in their entertainment industries, it's that standard that they want everyone else to follow to. You know, but this is also occurring, you know, just as we see today, as it was occurring in the days of Noah. You look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, found on page 753. We'll start on verse 37 here. It says, but just as the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 38, for just as in those days before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying while giving in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man. So notice there, if you look back in verse 38, that eating and drinking, you know, the eating and drinking and rising up to play. You know, this the parties, the banquets that they were having. You know, instead of focusing on the mind on the seriousness of at that time period and keeping Yahweh's laws, they were eating and drinking and rising up to play, like it says in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 6. But Pastor speaks more about this here. In the first book of Israel, chapter 7, verse 11. This is adultery, divorce, and remarriage. Divorce and remarriage. Yeshua said they are going to be like in the days of Noah. They had the same thing going on then that they have now. They were marrying while they were already given in marriage. Okay, and we have to ask ourselves, why have these marriages become like this? That we see in the world. Now the marriages, the vows, you know, they're not taken seriously. Why? Because they're not based upon Yahweh's laws. They're not based upon Yahweh's laws. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, page 952, let me just read it to you. It says, marriage, verse 4, marriage is totally righteous when it's kept undefiled according to the law, but whoremongers and adulterers, Yahweh will condemn. Yahweh will condemn. And if you look at the third book of Israel, chapter 13, verse 9. Let me read this here. It says, now, all of that work hasn't gotten here yet. When we ordain the elders and the Kohanas into their offices and into the work, they actually have authority to do in the sight of Yahweh, which they will carry into the kingdom. It's nothing more than establishing everything with words, just as you would establish a marriage or a betrothal with words, in front of witnesses and in front of Yahweh. What we bound on earth, in heaven, there's no separating it, as they tried to do in the world with this divorce. Now they try to separate it. And of course, the supporting scripture that goes with this, you know, that pastor's talking about here, you look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6 here. Page 746. It says, so are they not, according to the law, therefore one flesh? Therefore what Yahweh has joined together, let no man put apart. You know, and going back to the marriages that we see out in the world, you know, of course, like I said, they're not taking it seriously. These vows that they make. But they're based on this illegal lust instead of Yahweh's 613 laws. You know, this illegal lust. And there's a section here in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Self-Control Unit, page 33. And it gives us the definition of love. Because the world is pushing forth this false love. But if you look there, up on top, it says, love can be one of the most difficult emotions to explain. Many people misunderstand love because of the way it is portrayed in movies, TVs, and romance novels. And of course, it gives us the true definition of love. You see there is highlighted in gray. True love is a bond of mutual trust, interest, and deep care for another. And this is something that they're not teaching in the entertainment industry, in the media today. Now, the reason why we should have this true love, you know, reason being is because, you know, again, like they're pushing forth this false love, and the world, they're making it to where they take the vows very lightly. Remember the definition that we talked about seriousness and how we need to take all our vows seriously. But there's a quote that I think everyone should be familiar with. I think we've seen this before. Everyone see that? It says, praise Yahweh. It says, if it's not forever, I don't want it. We shouldn't want it. Yahweh's people should not want these temporary things that they push forth in Hollywood. You know, and I asked the Kahan, you know, who's been in the house for a long time, and asked him what was the purpose, you know, the meaning behind this quote that they pushed forth at that time. But it was to get into the minds of Yahweh's people that the things in this world are not going to last, and that the things of Yahweh are going to last. Praise Yahweh. So, you know, the vows of Yahweh are not temporary. And just for your notes, you can just write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 and talks about how for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But the vows of Yahweh, you know, brothers and sisters, they're not temporary. You can't go back on them. It's forever. And, you know, we have to be serious-minded in all these things. And blessed are we if we do keep these. You know, like Pastor mentioned, you know, we will be in the kingdom for keeping these vows. Don't allow anything from this world to influence you, to, you know, get you in caught up in this glitz and glamour. You know, it's really going to get your mind off of the seriousness that we have to have when we do make these vows to Yahweh. So if y'all please stand. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you Greg Kahanele.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Going along with what the great deacon just brought out about our vows, you know, many people have made one vow to this or one vow to that. Some may be married, some may be not. But we all look forward to a baptism vow. And just to keep in mind, when we make our baptism vows, we actually set goals. And in the Peaceful Solution, we've talked about that. We're covering that with the men, and the women are covering it also, about when we take goals seriously, we write them down. And those who write their goals down and rehearse them every day will succeed. They're more likely to succeed. And the vow I'm talking about, in our baptism vow, we say that I vow before Yahweh's priest or priestess that I repent of ever breaking Yahweh's laws, and that I will never willingly break any of them again. Now, that's a goal we're setting. To never willingly break any of them again, I will diligently strive to convert to keeping and upholding all of Yahweh's law, statutes, ordinances, and judgments as Yahweh commands. So that's a goal that we have, that we set. Many of us may not have read that vow in a while, but we should actually have it written down, because that's a goal that we're setting, to keep these vows. And why are these vows so important? Well, in today's news, of course, we're going to look more towards we have thousands, millions of people dying to our left and to our right-hand side. We see the destruction. We see the misery in the Middle East. Pastor brought these things many, many years before they started taking place. They're taking place exactly as Yahweh's house has brought them, exactly as the one sent had said. The scriptures prophesied of these things. Yahweh says that he would give his power over to his two witnesses. And then when you know the word power, look at the acceptance unit on page 11. You know that knowledge is power. Yahweh gave his knowledge over to his two witnesses and to the last witness to bring forth what these days would bring. Remember, even either life by righteousness or death by destruction. Now, when we make our vows and agreements, of course, today we're going to see in the news, and it's going to be very graphic. We've shown graphic before, but this will be more graphic than before. If you want to know why we're showing this, we're showing it because when we don't keep our vows, when we break our vows, when we break our agreements, when we sin, we're guilty of all of these things that we see. We can try to justify it, and no, we don't see it in front of us, but it is real. There are children literally blown in half. You will see children blown in half. You will see organs hanging out of bodies. That is what we become. That is what we are a part of when we do not choose this tree of life that we're offered here this day. We have no need to become angry with Yahweh when we see something come upon us because we break our agreements. If we do righteousness, we will be accepted. So please pay attention. Diseases all around us, death and destruction to our left and to our right hand sides. We must take Yahweh's house seriously and everything that it stands for and everything that we vowed we would do. Please remember that the brief moment you've seen of the dead children, the dead people, the suffering, it's all due to the ignoring of Yahweh's laws and the giving to sin, the not keeping the agreements that we make with Yahweh. At this time, I'd like to present Yahweh's anointed Seventh-day Malach, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news media is saying if you can see it, and of course, Yahweh has made it possible for you to see, and it hasn't come near you yet. Read Psalms 91 or keep it in mind. Don't read it now. We got other things to cover. This is all breaking news right now, and I've got Eliyahu going through it. Kohan Eliyahu Hyler Hawkins going through it, but I want to go on to other things. We're growing in readers, in popularity. I'll show you the one thing. The house of Yahweh is still at the top. I could read you all of that right now, but I really don't have time. So I want to read you the bread sack for sure. It's hard to see that mess that's going on into the world and not get shook up. But this way is the news announcer says, you know, you get it becomes real when you can see it. When you just hear about it, it means nothing to you. And, of course, being protected here by Yahweh, this should start meaning more and more to you. I've told you the United States is going to remain strong. The only reason it's going to remain strong is so this message of Yahweh can get out. You know, if they could stop us with nuclear bombs, they would. The fact is, they can't until until Yahweh's plan is completed. It is great. This is the bread sack. Look in the prophetic word for it. Other things will be added to this, of course, as we go. And the children's portion of that magazine called Just Kidding, we're going to use some humor and show how stupid the world is and some of its decisions. It's made from top officials, of course, and our children giving the answers and things like this. And this is going to be great. Praise Yahweh. It is great Father Yahweh's purpose and goal to bring his children to perfect righteousness. What an awesome plan. Help us, Father Yahweh, to desire your great plan and nothing less. Praise Yahweh. I've been encouraging the supervisors to bring our people to perfection. I said, if they're 1 minute late, that means they're not on time. If they're 10 seconds late, it means they're not there on time. Why not get there earlier so you won't be guilty? Won't be guilty of stealing Yahweh's time that he has assigned you to do. You know, some alien from outer space, if you're in charge of them, they could do a lot of damage in 1 minute or 10 seconds if you're assigned to a job that you've got to protect a certain planet or a billion or so beings that's out there working for Yahweh. Think of this. Be on time. If you say you're going to do something, do it and stick with it. Is there something wrong with that? No. But anyway, if you see the supervisors getting on to you pretty heavily, thank them for it and praise Yahweh for pointing it out to you, because you've got to come to perfection. No danger in nuclear war. Well, the Pentagon plans on blowing up the planet. And that's they release some things here. The news media did that shows how close we are at this nuclear war, and of course the scripture shows we are too, and then numbers that will be revealed next week, not this week, not today, but next Sabbath, Yahweh willing. That's assuming I get through with my portion of it here today with the prophecies, and then the other will back it up. But you should be concerned, this article says, military documents confirm that nuclear war is still on the drawing board of the Pentagon. Compared to the 1950s, however, today's nuclear weapons are far more advanced. The delivery system is more precise. In addition to China and Russia, Iran, Syria, and North Korea are targets for the first strike, preemptive nuclear attacks. Now, this is coming from the Pentagon. Let us be under no illusions. This Pentagon's plan to blow up the planet using advanced nuclear weapons is still on the books. War is good for business, he says. Good for business. spearheaded by defense contractors Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, British Aerospace, and so forth. It's big money. Political insanity. The use of nuclear weapons is casually endorsed by presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who believes that nuclear weapons are instruments of peacemaking. Her election campaign is financed by the U.S. military. Her election campaign is financed by the U.S. military. It's hard to believe. Industrial complex, which produces the world military defense. Meanwhile, scientists on contract to the Pentagon have endorsed the use of tactical nuclear weapons. These weapons, I'm trying to find out more and more about them, but they're nuclear. And they've been using them ever since we put the nuclear baby out, too, by the way. That was what was used to blow up the building that housed, they said, nuclear arsenal on the bank of the great river Euphrates. And of course, that the nuclear baby stopped there. And later on, we started adding newspaper reports that we now send out with the new nuclear baby to show that it did start. But according to this article, these tactical nuclear weapons, they are endorsed because they go off underground. They penetrate the earth, then they explode. They're one-third to six times greater than the bombs we used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Well, meanwhile, scientists on contract to the Pentagon have endorsed the use of tactical nuclear weapons, which are said to be harmless to the surrounding civilian population because the explosion is underground. The tactical nuclears are bona fide thermonuclear weapons with an explosive capacity between one-third and six times a Hiroshima bomb. They have been cleared by battlefield use in the conventional war theater by the U.S. Senate, and their use does not require the approval by the commander-in-chief. The president doesn't even have to endorse this thing now. The people at the highest levels of government who make decisions regarding the use of nuclear weapons haven't the foggiest idea as to the implications of their actions. There's a couple more things I want to... Today's list of targeted cities... The policy of nuclear bombing of targeted cities is still on the drawing board of the Pentagon. While today's list of targets remain classified, cities in Russia, China, and Middle East, North Korea are on the target list. Associated Press report quoted Pentagon sources June 4, 2015 confirms that. One more short note here. I know I got it marked somewhere. Here it is. The Hiroshima Day 2003 meeting had set the stage for the privatization of nuclear war. Corporations not only reap multi-billion-dollar profits from the production of nuclear bombs, they also have a direct voice in setting the agenda. The private corporations now, they have the voice, and they don't need the president's approval. Setting the agenda regarding the use of deployment of nuclear weapons. All the safeguards of the Cold War era, which categorized the nuclear bomb as a weapon of last resort, have been scrapped. Offensive military action using nuclear warheads are now described as acts of self-defense. The one that was dropped on Hiroshima, I marked that date, August 6, 1945. I was 11 years old when that took place. And, of course, the prophecy showed it would be developed in my lifetime. If you remember, if you keep up with the newsletters, I really believe that everyone needs to keep up with those news releases. They won't come out once a month. They're coming out every week. You could get on the proofreading list. We may have to start giving you used ones, but we'll get them to you if you want to get on the proofreading list. Vatican speaker on climate change. There are 6 billion too many people in the U.S. Too many people, or too many of us, not U.S. He says there are 6 billion too many of us. He wants to be one that's left alive, I'm sure, but the others don't matter, as you can see. When you see soldiers beating children back with sticks and clubs to keep them from getting a handful of food, there's something wrong with the person's mind, you know? This is not human. They wouldn't even, they'll feed dogs when they won't feed people. They'll beat the people back and let the dogs have the food. HIV drug resistance on the rise. That goes along with your confused minds. Researchers pinpoint how HIV hides and grows inside the body even when detectable in the blood. Remember Isaiah 65? The abominable things is in the blood. In the blood. Well, of course, we're part of the house of Yahweh. And the house of Yahweh, Yahweh has allowed the house of Yahweh to be destroyed because the 12 tribes of Israel, whom he brought out of Egypt, rejected Yahweh's righteousness that Yahweh said should bring, if practiced, healthy minds, healthy bodies, and healthy minds. It will bring peace, he says. It will bring joy, which starts with Isaiah 58. Remember, I left off with that scripture last Sabbath. And of course, it'll bring eternal life. And all of this was rejected. We read Amos 3, where Yahweh shows that he brought the... Well, let's turn there and read it fast. I won't elaborate on it, but it at least rehearse it in your mind. Amosha 3, found on page 696. He says, hear this word which Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. That is, judge you for all your iniquities. You're on trial. I'm letting you go your way, and you're on trial, proving to heaven and earth exactly what your way will bring. There won't ever be this again. This is it once these trials are over. Can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Well, of course not. We see this in Genesis. He points out the same thing. Now listen to me. He points out the same thing to Cain. Before he killed Abel, before Cain killed Abel, he said to him, if you do righteousness, you will be acceptable. If you don't do righteousness, he says, sin lies at your door. Yes, not doing righteousness is sin. That sin is breaking Yahweh's laws of righteousness. Now that should be clear enough for anyone. None of the world is keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness. The house of Yahweh only teaches his laws of righteousness. Well, he says, will a lion roar in the forest unless he has the prey? He's given you now scenarios here. And then he says, most assuredly, well, verse 6, will a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity flourish there? Religious imposters, will the Catholic Church be there and Yahweh not have a work there also? Verse 7, Yahweh has 7 prophesied works, and we are the 7th prophesied work. And there is no other. Most assuredly, he says, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. By his servants, the prophets. Now, what did they say? Yahshua said that the prophets prophesied up until Yochanan. And he said, since that time, Yeshua becomes our high priest, and that's where we receive guidance and word. He's our high priest. The high priest were guiding the Pharisees, but the high priest had turned to evil. They would not accept Yahweh's laws. So Yahweh gave them up to a reprobate mind, and that's what you're seeing in this news right now. You're not seeing sanity at all on the news. You're seeing everything out there look so crazy, it's almost unbelievable. It's like the news announcer said, you know, hearing it, you really don't believe it. But seeing it this way, and Yahweh said, you're going to see it. When he said that, there wasn't a television invented at the time. That came with the knowledge increase that Daniel prophesied for this time period when he saw the two witnesses. Yeah. You see all of this and Yahweh prophesying it and it all coming to pass, just falling into place, one after another. Now go over to Revelations. This is, I think, where I left off last week. Revelation 16, and we were talking about the wars here and who would bring them about. You saw what's going on. You've been seeing it every week here. But Revelation 16, please, everyone get this and read with me. It's very important that you read every word of this right here with me and listen to what I say about it. Revelations, the 16th chapter, and verse 12, he says, and the sixth Moloch poured out his bowl. His voice and the words that is being brought forth in this particular time period by the seventh Moloch, he brings this all about, as shown in verse 10. He's the one that brings this. Verse 10, all these secrets. What's the secret? Seals. Remember? Can y'all hear me down here? Seals. Seals. You remember the seals? Remember Daniel 12? Yahweh said, seal these things. Okay, now the prophets prophesied these things. Daniel was one of the prophets. Remember him? He prophesied these seals. Yahweh said, seal up the book. Now, for 1,500 years, no one could even look at the book of Yahweh. They were sealed. But now we have a Savior. The prophet spoke up until Yahshua Messiah. I don't know what idiot could look at the history today and not see that Yahshua Messiah changed the whole world with his birth and his death. It changed everything. And Yahshua right now is leading his house, which he says the gates of hell won't prevail against. How did they prevail against? By deception. Not believing what the prophets had spoken, not believing the one sent, the prophet sent, who also Yahweh made put in writing for the people, so we could read it from then on and then on and then on. Throughout all eternity, this book of Yahweh is going to guide the universe. Yes. And it was written by the prophets up until the time of the Savior. We'll see that in Scripture in just a moment, but I want to tell you in advance how this took place. After Yahshua was born, he was prophesied to die. Then he was prophesied to take his seat by the side of Yahweh in heaven. That was written in the Psalms. No one believed it, but it was written there. That's where he sits right now, whether you believe it or not. And he's judging you for whatever you're doing now. For being 1 minute late, for breaking your vows, for taking the name Hawkins off of your name. No, don't be associated with the zealous priest of Yahweh. I'm going to tell you your sins. don't have anything to do with him. That's what Satan is telling you to do. And if Satan is your leader, whatever she tells you to do, that's what Yahshua said you're going to do. You don't have to. You could repent, beg for forgiveness, and Yahshua will start leading you again. But that's the only way. 16. Revelation 16 now. We're in this time period right here. This is what is taking place right here. Upon the great river Euphrates, that's where, if you look, that's where all the trouble is. How could he possibly know that's where the trouble was going to be? This thing was written in 96 A.C.E. This is 2016. How could he possibly know where the trouble is going to be? Right there. And he pinpoints it here. And he poured it on the great river Euphrates. He's pouring out from his mouth, telling you what is going to take place in that fourth part of the earth. In that fourth part of the earth is what you just saw on the news. Children starving. Over 100 million people without a home. Forced out of their houses. Bombs dropped on them. They're begging for food and being beaten with sticks. And no one wants to help them. Would you give a child something to eat if he was asking for it? How could a person in their right mind possibly say no to something like this? But how could they be bombing these places in their right mind and putting these people in this array that he's fixing to show you right here now, if you'll just listen to me really closely? The river was dried up so that the way, what is he talking about here? The way of the kings. The kings there are religions of the East. The religions of the East might be prepared. Well, who's preparing them? Have you watched the news to see who's visiting them and telling them you've got to do this or that? His name is Francis. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of demons. You get that? You see that? Remember, chapter 9 says, and they still won't repent of this demon worship, devil worship. They still won't repent of that. Next week, you're going to find out from other sources what I'm talking about here. From next Sabbath, you'll find this out. It's so beautiful what Yahweh hides for his house to bring out. Spirits of demons who perform signs. There was one on the news directly under me. They said he's a miracle worker. They said he's a miracle worker. I think that's what they said. I don't think I got it. It disappeared. Here it is. I got it. He's the second one down. They're bragging on him. Obima. It's not Obama now, but Obima is attention seeker. His audience is big on the Bible. He revealed on OBTV channel that he has a supernatural power with which he, and that's the end of it, a supernatural power. You know, the Egyptians had that too. When Moshe led the 12 tribes out of there, well, they had these people with supernatural powers. And of course, they had big followings. In the days of Eliyahu, you remember him? He was the only priest of Yahweh, and Baal had 450 of these supernatural power people out there, roaming the countryside, getting a big audience too. Well, we stopped at verse 14, spirits of demons now, and he tells you what they are, who perform signs and go forth to the kings of the earth, the kings of the earth, the religions of the earth. The Vatican just sent 1,142 of the super confessors. You call 1,142 super confessors to the religions of the earth, because he can't go himself, and only the Pope can do this. Only the Pope can take their confessions, because they gave some things that you can't be forgiven for except by the Pope himself. One of them was spitting out the Eucharist. Nothing was refusing to take it, I think. Nothing was asking, well, what do you have in this? There's some things that just too bad, too big a sin to be forgiven. But now these 1,142 that he's just sent out now last week is going out to the religions of the earth. The religions of the earth. Okay, for they are spirits of demons who perform signs and go forth to the religions of the whole inhabited earth to gather them to battle. Gather them to battle? This is a religious. These are religions. And they're gathering them to battle. To war. They're going to tell you they're gathering them to peace, while they wipe out 5/5 of the earth's population. Of that great day of Yahweh, behold, I come quickly. I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. This garment is righteousness, white robes. Remember, garments. I give to you garments, white robes, meaning perfect righteousness. He's given it here today, right here in his house. Saying, keep my laws and you will have all of this. This is what he said to Israel, but not having a true, abiding, living, righteous priest who says, don't be a minute late, be on time or be early, one of the two, but don't be late. That's what Yahshua said. That's what Yahweh said to Cain. Where have you been? Stayed up too late last night and drank one too many beers. Well, is this show on television that I just had to watch? I got hooked on it and I couldn't turn that thing off. What excuse did Cain have? Well, here he's saying, watch and keep yourself perfectly righteous. That's what he's telling you. That's what I'm telling you right now. Keep yourselves righteous, or he will walk naked. Now, this should conjure up in your mind quickly back to Genesis, the beginning, naked. They knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed, which we've shown you. This means they wanted to wipe that out. They didn't want to say they're sinning because they don't want to admit there was any law. And sin is the breaking of the law, so they put naked. Well, it's the same wording right here in Revelations. Naked, they were naked. Adam and Eve knew that they were naked. Wow. That would take a lot to learn that. They must have had to went to college for 4 years at least to know that they were naked. And people believe that crap. I better not. Well, of course they knew that they were sinned, that they had sinned. Watch your garments. Don't let sin enter in so you won't be ashamed. You see that? so you will not be ashamed. Write that down, write Genesis 3, I think it's 8, about 8 through 11 or something there. Write it down, because we don't have a footnote on it where it'll remind you to go back there and see what they're talking about here. He's talking about real people here, and he's talking about something that really took place. Back to verse 12, the people in this is one-fourth part of the earth. This is the people in one-fourth part of the earth. And we see here that these people are dried up. This word here, the Hebrew word that this comes from, it means the people, of course, means waters, as is pointed out to you in Revelation 17, I think about verse 15, which is the very next chapter. We're in chapter 16 now, in verse 12. The waters, the people, get this, the people are dried up. Well, the words dried up, what could that possibly mean? The people, it means discomfited. It means to frustrate, to disconcert. These are the meanings of the Hebrew word. Disconcert means to upset or embarrass, put to shame. All impediments, it says, removed. All impediments removed. From what? The impediments. They're removing. And this person, the agency that deceived Eve and led Adam into sin, and Cain, one of the ruthless leaders, like Nimrod, like the Nimrod system, that's what he followed. They have impediments in their way right now, because the people do not want to. And the Pope, if you remember, he went and visited these people. And Russia says, don't mess with our religion. And then they made the boast, if you're a bear, you don't need to ask permission. You can do what you want to do if you're a grizzly. Malachi Martin was talking about this, these impediments to the Catholic Church, when he said Russia could turn out to be a grizzly overnight, meaning she is going to reject what the Vatican has to offer here. Are you getting the picture now? Is that coming plain? There's impediments in the way, and what you're seeing here, according to this one Hebrew word, drying up the people, drying up the water, frustrating them, discomfited, to frustrate, to disconcert, to upset, to embarrass. They're pretty embarrassed right now, you could tell this. The people are fighting for their lives. They're begging for food. They're begging for shelter. They're just begging for a place to live. Our forefathers, when this same thing was going on, that actually built the great Roman Empire, this huge Roman Empire that took over the earth, made up of four religions, and a spokesman, they called him Pope. Before that, they called him rabbis. Before that, they called him pharaohs. But they came from Egypt, and they went back to Egypt, your scripture says. Even a Christian should get these things. Even a Christian should be able to understand that only this 12 tribes is what Yahweh was dealing with and still dealing with today. Now, all the earth here has been told, you've got to do a certain thing. But these people are impeding the Pope in what he's wanting to do. Not the Pope. He's the Santa Claus that goes out and delivers the message saying the Vatican can do this to you if you don't do this. And Russia is saying, don't mess with our religion. Well, he's just one, China, that was named also, that they were going to, the Queen of Heaven, Mary, as they call the Queen of Heaven, the goddess Isis, she's making war. Well, they think Isis is on the side of the Catholic Church. The Muslims think Isis is on their side. Each one thinks Isis is going to let them win. Isis is preparing the whole world here, brother, for destruction. And that is what it's talking about, but it starts in and around the great river Euphrates here. And the people are brought to shame. They've come to nothing. They have no homes. They have no shelter, no food. Not just a family or two. We're talking about millions of people. Over, the last count I had was over 100 million people. And it's climbing every day. With that in your mind, turn back to Revelation 13. Now, here is what's being impeded. The United States is number one in this. As we saw in chapter 6 many times, with the Catholic Church in the lead, and then the United States is given authority to take peace from the earth. Let's go back there again and read that. Chapter 6 of Revelation. You can understand this if you'll just read it. If you'll just read this, you can understand it if you'll read and listen to what I'm saying. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. These were the seals that was prophesied to Daniel. Seal this up. It's not going to be given until the time of the end. That's what Daniel was told to do, and that's what he did, and that's what he wrote. Seal it until the time of the end. Well, here is Yahshua, the Lamb, who the Catholic Church is fighting against. That's Revelations now, 17, verse 10, that this beast will make war with the Lamb. How? By telling you not to follow the Scriptures. Not to follow them old written rules. That was written, the Pope says, the Vatican said it, the Pope just read it. I don't think the Pope has sense enough to write a sermon on his own. If the Pope were reading the Scriptures to try to write a sermon, he would notice these things that I say are true and correct. Now, he denies them and makes slurring remarks against the man who knows it all, as he put it, when they say they know it all. Well, I can say that because my high priest, Yahshua Messiah, does, and Yahweh does. Well, here now, he says, chapter 6 and verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb, that's Yahshua Messiah, who died as a lamb, and now sits at Yahweh's right hand because he was willing to give his life rather than break Yahweh's law. He gave his life freely for you. So you can imagine, you knowing that, how he feels when he sees you turn back to sin. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals that Daniel 12:4, got that? One of the seals of Daniel's 12:4. Because he shows that we're going to understand it at that time through two witnesses. And I looked in a future day of teaching and I saw these two others. Oh, it's so beautiful. And I heard as it were one of the four. These are one of the four of the golden altar, one of the four horns of the golden altar that took so many billions of lives and still taking them, and children and grown-ups begging. This is what this represents. Well, these are the horns in action. Living creatures in action. Saying as with a voice like thunder, this is one pronouncing it, reading it to you. Come and see. And I looked and behold a white horse. This is with a rider that's a religion, with nuclear arms in his hands. These horns represent spokesmen. Out of their mouth comes their orders to give the power to kill. They also represent the horns of a wild beast who uses it for goring, for killing. One of these horns. Okay, verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it had a bow. This is something to kill people with. It's army, it's military. It was then. It's tactical nuclear weapons now, which will turn into the other. They will use them in a first strike, and they have them ready too. And a crown, that means authority. Authority for what? Authority to make war. As we see in the next chapter we're going to go into, authority to make war was given unto him, and he went out making war. Authority was given unto him. Well, who is this him that is speaking of here? And when he had opened the second seal, that is, he reveals who it is. This is revealed in the second seal. And I heard the second creature come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted unto him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. What's going on in and around the great river Euphrates? Now he said that's where it's going to be. That's where it's going to start. Well, it is given unto him to cause this, to take peace from the earth, and saying unto them they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Great nuclear bombs is what it's speaking of here. Great military. A great, great military with great bombs that can destroy. We're in, this is chapter 6. Now let's go back to Revelations here. Revelations 13. Revelations 13. And remember, it's being impeded, so they've got to start wars here. They've got to dry this river up, these waters up. They got to destroy these people, get them out of their homes where they can't do anything to fight back, where they can't be organized in any way. There's no organization here at all. They could be wiped out and starved to death or whatever. And they know it. And this is what the plan was to do here, as is shown in chapter 16, verse 12, that I just read you. Well, here in 13 now, Revelations 13, and look at verse 12. He says, and he exercised, well, let's go back to verse 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns. Now, this is two religions. And that's what we are in the United States, two main religions, Catholic and what they call Protestant. Horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon, which is what the United States does right now. They speak as the powerful one, and of course, I told you before, they're going to be that way. They're the strongest nation on earth. That's where the house of Yahweh was established, in the chief of the nations. And he speaks as a dragon. They speak as a dragon. They speak with authority because they know they got the bombs to back them up. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast before him. The United States is exercising what was the original Roman Catholic Empire. The same thing she was exercising, so is the United States, and caused the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast. Who is the first beast? We see that in Revelation 17, sitting on seven hills. This woman, this city, is the leader of these kings of the earth, religions of the earth. Now, the religions are bucking up against her right now. And that's the reason 1,142 super confessors were sent out. And they can forgive sins and pull them back. Their job is to pull them in, as we see now in Revelation 17, that they join the Catholic Church for 1 hour. 1 hour. They worship the first beast. This second beast is saying right now, let's be like the first beast. Worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, meaning he had a deadly wound. Look on down to verse 14. And deceive those who dwell upon the earth by, well, maybe we better read that. Worship the first beast, then 13. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's what a nuclear bomb did on Hiroshima 1945. Hiroshima made fire come down from the sky. It exploded above the city, comes down on the city, made fire come down in the sight of men. And that brought peace to the earth, right? And deceives those who dwell upon the earth by those acts of power which he had authority to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth now that they should make a likeness of the beast. This is not make an idol now. It means the same thing as Yahweh put in Genesis 1:26, I will make man in my likeness. Well, he's saying, don't make yourselves in the likeness of Yahweh. You'll have to be righteous. You'll have to follow Yahweh's righteousness to do that. Make yourself in the image of the gods. It's more desirable. The corporations that build the bombs can make more billions of dollars this way. It brings in a lot of money. Any sin brings in a lot of money to the pharmaceuticals, to the bomb builders, to the politicians who make the rules. Well, he's saying a likeness to the beast, which had the deadly wound and did live. Well, it was that deadly wound, if you remember, that freed up the book of Yahweh. We would not have the book of Yahweh today if that deadly wound that they cause themselves now, they actually caused this by, they got tired of burying the bodies. They say, it's taking too much time to bury these bodies. We're having to dig all these graves by hand. So they let them lay, and they caused the Black Death to spread on the earth. I think they're probably doing the same thing there now. There's too many people dying in too many places. And you're going to see the plagues increase, of course. But it won't come near you. Read Psalms 91. If you're true to Yahweh, and he had power to give life unto the likeness of the beast, that is to bring this thing about. They have authority to do this. They have authority. He has authority to bring this about. And notice what he does now, that the likeness of the beast should both speak and cause, force. This word cause here, it actually means force. Force. Force has never worked, as I've said 1,000 times. It's never worked before to bring peace. But that's the only thing they know how to do. That's what Cain used. And Yahweh told them then, you're going to have continual war. They say, well, if we're all Catholics. Well, no, the Catholics are what they're trying. They're divided and going asunder. And the Pope is trying, the Vatican is trying to win them over to the Vatican. The Coptic Catholics were the first. The Roman Catholics was the second. But they split, and each group had a large following. Each man that split off had a large following. And you see the Orthodox in Russia. You see the Muslims in wherever they are in several different places. They're all worshiping ISIS, and they admit that. And several people have admitted it here lately. They cause that as many as would not worship the likeness of the beast should be killed. That's exactly what they got in mind, and that's what the newspaper reports are saying right now. They say there's about 5 billion too many people. There's 6 billion too many people on the face of the earth. And Malachi Martin said, Mary is going to make war with all of these people who will not worship her. That was his words. And he says, and I think she's going to win. Well, of course, if you're listening to the sermons up on the newsletters, you will see that Yahweh is protecting his house. And we're telling the world that now, that Yahweh's house is the only protected place. Satan would have destroyed it already if she could. The fact is, she can't. And she knows she can't. She can't destroy it this time. She's not going to prevail. Yahweh is going to bring you through. You. You which are alive and remain are going to be given the power to resurrect those who died before you. This is all waiting you, and it's coming pretty rapidly right now. These wars are getting ready to start right now. They're going to be proclaiming peace. Was there anything on that?
There's two.
Two? Read them right quick. Okay. Come on.
Just keeping in mind with what Pastor is bringing about these religions, given their authority over to the beast, a recent article comes out, Syrian ceasefire agreed, world powers announce nationwide cessation of hostilities. Well, it says major powers agreed on Friday to a cessation of hostilities in Syria set to begin in a week and to provide rapid humanitarian access to besieged Syrian towns but failed to secure a complete ceasefire or end a rushing bombing. Now, John Kerry, who is the U.S. Secretary of State, he acknowledged this, and it's comments made only on paper. And he says, what we need is to see in the next few days are actions on the ground, in the field. He said, adding that without a political transition, speaking of the removal of Assad, remember that, it is not possible to achieve peace. Well, Sergei Lavrov, who is the Russian foreign minister's comment in return, said that Russia would not stop air attacks in Syria, saying the cessation of hostilities did not apply to Islamic State, which is affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Now, keep in mind, Russia is saying they're going to continue to bomb the terrorists. Well, the United States and Russia, of course, the allies said that few Russian strikes have targeted those groups, with the vast majority hitting Western-backed groups. Well, why are they trying to come to an agreement? Well, the next article, of course, is Pope Francis aims for Middle East peace as next diplomatic miracle as he hosts the Iranian president. And it says after his coup in reviving relations between Washington and Havana, Cuba, Pope Francis has his sights on an even bigger goal, ending the interfaith savagery that is ripping apart the Middle East and sending millions of people fleeing for their lives. Of course, he wants them all following the divine serpent or the Vatican. And it says ahead of Mr. Rouhani's, which is the president of Iran, amongst his visit to Rome, the ambassador to Rome from Tehran said that close ties between the Vatican and Iran were of the utmost importance. Then Mr. Lombardi, who's Federico Lombardi, he is the Vatican chief spokesman, he said that Francis was ready and willing to intervene wherever possible to help address the violence in the Middle East, in particular the proxy wars being fought across the region between the Sunni Arab Saudi Arabia and the Shia Iranians. The Pope is acutely aware of the grave conflicts in the Middle East, and he will use his moral authority, knows what he defines as moral authority and international standing, that's his control of international governments, to promote peace at every opportunity. Notice to end the religious savagery, which is to worship the divine serpent. So you have a meeting calling for peace between these world leaders. And then, of course, you have the Middle East brought East and Western Christians together again. Now, remember, the Pope just met with his counterpart from Russia. Oh, yeah, let me show it there. That would help a lot. It's great to have someone here helping you be better, I tell you. Now, keep in mind, this is the Russian Orthodox leader. Keep in mind, a pope has never been to Russia. That's why they met in Cuba. Russia has never allowed a pope on their country or on their territory. They've always not allowed that. They spoke against that. And it's, it says the Pope and the Patriarch discuss how to collaborate to protect Christians, beginning with the persecuted in the Middle East. Now, of course, this is Russian. This is Russian influence. This is the influence of Vladimir Putin, and he's trying to do it through the Christian church, through the Christian organization. So there's more to come on this. There's a whole stack that I'm sure you're going to cover next week. But keep in mind, they hand their authority over to the beast to bring forth peace. Peace, peace, true peace.
Thank you. This one right here, it kind of says it all, just what I got through talking about. How the Middle East brought Eastern and Western Christianity together again. Now, this is exactly what the prophecy shows there that I just got through reading you. They're wiping out each one of these impediments with the wars that they got going right now. And each one of them is going to be beat down, just like they're trying to beat down the Palestinians. Been trying to do this for years. They won't make them accept it, but they can wipe out now. They got them to where they can wipe them out. And most of them that are being killed, you won't even know about. But we'll see enough of it to know that it's taking place. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!